Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's something special about sitting around a table and eating with other people, isn't there? I was reminded of this a number of times recently. Just a couple of weeks ago, my family and I were on vacation. We went back to the Midwest to see some family and friends, and while we were there, we had several of these sorts of opportunities. We had the chance to go to a wedding reception of a friend, and while we were there, we sat around a table with some old friends that we hadn't seen for quite some time. And there's something special about that, just being around a table with old friends, being able to reconnect after so long. Just a couple days later, then, we were in Wisconsin, and we had a similar sort of opportunity to sit around the dining room table with my siblings, with my nieces and nephew, and reconnect with family. There is something special about being around a table and eating a meal with family that draws us closer together. I've also been reminded of this over the last number of weeks as we as a church family have had a bit of an opportunity to do this. After almost a year of having no fellowship time after the service, we now have that opportunity to come together, to sit around a table with each other and enjoy each other's company over food. There's something special, something almost sacramental about being around a table, sharing a meal with people. It draws us closer to one another. It creates a sense of unity and even hope. It gives us peace and rest together. Well, we see this same sort of thing illustrated in our gospel reading for today, that famous passage of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And our gospel reading for this morning, it actually picks up immediately after last week's gospel reading. You might remember that story. At the beginning of last week's gospel reading, Jesus sends out the 12 to do a couple of things, to go on a mission for him. Their task is to heal the sick and the demon-possessed and to preach and teach the good news about the kingdom of God to everyone that they encounter. And then the bulk of last week's lesson was kind of that side story about the death of John the Baptist, which we'll actually revisit next week. But now that the story picks up again at the beginning of our gospel reading for today, we see that the 12 have returned. And did you notice what Mark calls Jesus' 12 followers at the beginning of the passage? Because the usual way to refer to Jesus' 12 followers throughout the Gospels is disciples. They're learners of Jesus. But here, at the beginning of this particular passage, Mark doesn't refer to them as disciples. He calls them apostles. Because on this mission that our Lord had sent them, in their words, in their deeds, they were called to bring the ministry and message of Jesus to everyone whom they encountered. They were no longer simply disciples. They were the sent ones, literally apostles, on mission for their Lord. But their learning is by no means done. Jesus has much left to teach them. In fact, he wants to give them something in our reading for today. He wants to give them what they need in order to sustain them in this new calling that they've been given and to which they will be more fully commissioned at the end of Mark's gospel. And so, Jesus says to his disciples, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." But in the very next sentence, Mark also makes it a point to note that they have not had a chance to eat recently. Rest and food are about to become very important in whatever follows. So the disciples, They join Jesus and get into the boat to cross over the Sea of Galilee to find a resting place, a desolate, quiet place where they can escape the crowd that had been following them and rest and maybe get a bite to eat as well. But the problem is, this crowd had a different idea. The crowd, of course, had been following Jesus around for a while because they noticed something different about Jesus. See, these people, they were living in a chaotic world. So much of the world around them was sort of just sucking the life out of them, whether it was the oppressive Romans, whether it was the too strict religious leaders, or whether it was just their own unfulfilled hopes and expectations. It must have felt like the life was being sucked out of them as they lived in this chaotic world. But in Jesus, they saw something different. In Jesus, there was peace. In Jesus, there was rest and hope. And so, when the crowd saw that Jesus and his disciples had gotten into a boat and were crossing the lake, they decided to meet him where he was going. The Sea of Galilee is not a very large lake, and so they were able to just run around the shore and meet Jesus where he and his disciples were going. So Jesus and his disciples, they finally reach the shore of this desolate place that they're going to, and lo and behold, there's this massive crowd to greet them. I have to imagine that if I was in Jesus' shoes, if I was in the disciples' shoes, I would have been a little bit annoyed, a little bit frustrated. I'm just trying to get some peace and quiet and get away from all this madness, yet you're just tracking me down and following me everywhere I'm going. But Jesus doesn't respond that way. Notice what he does. We're told he had compassion on them. It's that great Greek word, splanknizomai, this deep, visceral feeling of care, compassion, and love for someone. He had compassion on these people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were wandering aimlessly, didn't know what they needed or how to get it. And so Jesus proceeded to give them what they needed. He began to teach them about the kingdom of God. And then once dinner time was well past, it was time for some food. So the disciples, they come up to Jesus and they say to Jesus, "This is a desolate place and the hour is late. Send the crowd away to go to the surrounding countryside and villages and let them buy themselves something to eat." Seems pretty sensible. There's a lot of people there. How are they going to feed them all? But Jesus has something else in mind. He says to the disciples, "You give them something to eat." The disciples, needless to say, are kind of confused. And so they say, "Shall we go out and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" Keep in mind, a denarius is one day's wage. So 200 denarii worth of bread is 200 days of wages worth of food that they would have to buy. If you translate that into modern terms, based on the average income for someone in the state of Maine today, we're talking somewhere in the neighborhood of $16,000 to buy all this food that they're talking about. It's a lot of money for a lot of people. But Jesus is going to do it a different way, of course. And so he tells the disciples, "How many loaves do you have? Why don't you go and see?" So the disciples go around and somehow they manage to scrounge together 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And they bring them to Jesus and say, "Here's what we've got. This isn't even enough to feed all 12 of us, much less everybody else. But it's enough for Jesus." And so here is where things get interesting in the story. Because Jesus is about to invite his people, his sheep, to lie down in green pastures as he prepares a banquet for them. So Jesus instructs the people to sit down on that green grass. He takes the loaves and the fish. He blesses them. He breaks the bread and he gives it to his disciples to pass out to the crowd. And lo and behold, there is so much food that after everyone has eaten their fill, there are still 12 baskets filled with leftovers. It's incredible. It's a miraculous moment. And in this miraculous moment, we see heaven and earth colliding. We see Jesus inviting his people to the Lord's table as they experience this almost sacramental moment, as he gives them rest from the struggles of this life and hope for the life to come through this foretaste of that eternal life. Doesn't a moment like that sound incredible? Wouldn't you do just about anything to find that kind of respite from our chaotic world that in so many ways just seems to suck the life out of us? Well, of course, the good news of Jesus is that he is our good shepherd. He leads you and I to those metaphorical green pastures and gives us rest and hope here at his table as we are connected to his life-giving resurrection through the body and the blood of Jesus that comes to us in this meal. It's not an almost sacramental meal. It is a sacramental meal where we commune with our Lord and with one another. It's a foretaste of that feast to come on the final day when we join together with all of God's people around the banqueting table of the Lamb. And so my prayer for you is that week after week, as Jesus invites you back to his table, that you would continue to respond to that invitation with joy, that you would continue to come to the Lord's table to find rest, to find hope from this chaotic world as we eagerly anticipate that day when we will be gathered together in the green pastures of the new creation to sit with one another at the Lord's table for all of eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen.